Thank you, Annalee and Victory. Wonderful. They are just so precious. Saying so precious. Okay, I got a note here from Vicky. Sandy Baker Smith, the visitation Tuesday, 1 to 2. The funeral at 2 at Hooper's Creek Baptist Church. Let's remember that. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you ever wonder and think how you're supposed to pray about certain things? Am I the only one that says, well, you know, God did that, and how am I supposed to react to that? We know in the last days, perilous times shall come, earthquakes, famines, everything, and God sent them, has always sent them. Doesn't what he said, but the question for myself is, what about me? How do I pray about that situation when I know God's the one that has done it, and he does it for a reason? That's up to him. Well, I was praying about this and studying about this, and the Lord said, I just want to show you something. He said, it's already in the book. He said, just go to the first four places in the Word of God. I use the word prayer, P-R-A-Y-R, and I'll show you, and you'll never have to worry about it again. I'll do the big part. I'll take care of that. I'll do the reasoning and everything, but let me tell you how you're to react. And so it's going to be interesting tonight. Really helped me in studying this. So the first four times God used this word prayed, the situation that God used, he used his servant Abraham, he used his servant Moses. You know they were right with God. And if we understand the principles involved in this, it'll help sharpen our focus. It'll help us concentrate and know how we're to react when God's doing all these things. We're not to question what God does. And then Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So in Romans, we are told that we don't know how to pray and what we ought to pray for. So let's let God's word direct us tonight. And let's go to Babel in the 20th particular chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 20 and verse 17. Genesis 20, 17. Situation is God has sent Abraham and his wife down to a land because where he's from, there's a famine. There's no rain. So God had given Abraham this obviously beautiful wife, and he was so afraid that someone's going to kill him to get his beautiful bride that he said, now he made this up, but it's a true story, half-sister, let's tell them that you're my sister. So he didn't exactly lie, he just didn't tell all the truth. He was half-sister, but not at the same time his wife. So Abimelech, sure enough, gets down there, and Abraham gets among those people, and they don't have the fear of God in their heart. The Bible tells us in this chapter, they do not have the fear of God in their law, in their heart. Now, the whole area had the fear of God. Reminds you of some places in America today that seemingly there's no fear of God anywhere. I mean, they hate the Constitution that has brought us in America where we are. They are against everything seemingly God's for. Therefore, homosexual marriage, and you name it, they're for it. And there is definitely no fear of God many, many places. So Abraham now is in a bad fix, seemingly, but not really, because God's got control. So Abimelech went down, and he went and took his wife. And then God steps in and intervenes. So the principle is that we don't have to do a lot. We just trust God. And the principle is that we pray for the healing of the ungodly. Let's read together in the 17th verse. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. God had, because of him stealing or taking the wife of Abraham, he had withheld the wounds of all the people involved, and they wouldn't have children, much less God spoke to him in a dream and says, I'm going, you're like a dead man. If you don't return Abraham his wife, I'm going to kill you. So the principle is this. We pray for those that don't have the fear of God in their heart and let God take care of all the rest. Obviously, he's able to handle it. He spoke to Abimelech. Let's read the text together. And verse 3, that same chapter. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Oh, we got another potential problem. Seemingly. There are many people in schools of divinity that will say God doesn't speak in dreams. I'm so thankful that God got to me before they did. Many times in word, this is a heathen that doesn't even believe in the same God Abraham does. No fear of God in his life, and God speaks to him. So we try to put God in the box. God do what he wants to, when he wants to, as he wants to, and it's always perfect. So he spoke to him in a dream and said, and behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which I have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will I slay also a righteous nation? See, this particular man had not known, and so seemingly he was innocent in that. But God looks at the problem, and God's able to take care of any need. We give ourselves to the Lord, and God takes care of it. Our job is quite clear. So Abimelech went to Abraham and said, how come you did this? Because you risked my life, and now God has spoken, and God has kept all the people, all the wives, and all the women in their nation from having children, and it's your fault, Abraham, and maybe it was. But we look at one thing. We're to pray for those people who have no fear of God in their hearts. Verse 17 again. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife. We learn something else. God hears the prayers of the righteous. Abraham had done some wrong in his life, but he's still a righteous man. In spite of the best we can do, we're still our righteousness is filthy rag. So Abraham is not going on his righteousness. He's going on the righteousness of God. Imputed to him, and now he's looking for that city. Meanwhile, he's just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through. So first we learn that we pray for the healing of the ungodly. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 1. And when God puts his hand of destruction upon the people, for whatever reason, he's God, he does it when he wants to. We're to pray that his hand would be removed. Very biblical. Look at Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. But when the people complained, God's people seemingly are always complaining. Too much rain, not enough rain. Bringing them through drought, bringing them through disaster after disaster. And the first little thing goes wrong, they're displeased. And the people complained. It displeased the Lord. So how does God feel when we complain about the situations he develops and he orchestrates? Don't please him very well, does it? It displeased the Lord that they complained. They were in the middle of a situation that God put them in. And there's trials, there's tribulation. And when we complain, it displeases God. And God is not just displeased about it. He'll take action to that displeasure also. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. For his anger was kindled. The fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them, that they were in the uttermost parts of the camp. God was so displeased that he sent a massive fire and starts burning them. And here Moses is. And Moses sees all that. And Moses, a righteous man, goes, God had given him that authority to lead the people, so the people knew they couldn't get a prayer through to God. They had been displeasing God. How are you going to get a prayer through to God when you're displeased and unsatisfied and complain about what he's done? You can't. So they went to somebody that they knew that could. And so when Moses prayed to God and to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So the people cried to Moses, pray for us. Moses prayed. So what do we do when God sends destruction? They deserved it. He wouldn't have sent it.
He was displeased by their action, by their displeasure, and God was wrought in the way they had acted, and God was going to do something about it. He sent fire to let them know he was God. You don't ever question what God does, how he does it, why he does it. He's God. It's beyond us to question. We can't control anything he does. We just know that in certain instances, he sends destruction. So what are we supposed to do? Moses prayed that God would remove the destruction. And God heard the prayer. And when Moses prayed, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. So far, we've seen that when the ungodly starts doing wrong and God sends his judgment, we pray for those ungodly. That's our job. Leave everything else up to him. You can't question it. You can't figure it out. Now, I know they're trying to figure out why all those fires are in California. And they say most of them say it's nothing more than global warming. I started doing a little research on that. And I wonder if back when remember when old King Ahab and Jezebel were so against God, and Elijah walks up to the palace one day and says, "It won't rain, God says, until I come back and tell you it's going to rain." 3.5 years. Boy, global warming was bad 900 years before Christ, wasn't it? Who is in control of everything? God. And so they say global warming and this and that. But see, it's God that controls everything. And we don't question that. We just know he does. And when God sends something, for whatever reason he does, we're not worried about what they did. We're not worried about how God acts. The only question we got to settle is, what do we do? We pray to God that he would help them. That's what Moses did. And God heard and answered that prayer. And that's as far as you can go. You can't go, you dare not say God was unmerciful, that he would send a fire and burn them up. No, he wasn't unmerciful. He's God. And you can't say that he was going to kill Abimelech, that he wasn't merciful. He's God. Don't even question. The only thing you got to think about is, what do? We pray that God will heal the ungodly, and we pray that the hand of destruction would be removed. That's our chore. But there's two others that I want to look at, because these are the first four God mentions about prayer. And how Abraham prayed and how he had Moses pray is the way we ought to pray. Leave the big problems up to God. Let's look at Numbers chapter 21 and verse 7. Numbers 21 and verse 7. This is a long one. Many times God's people get out of fellowship with him. A lot of times God's people get out of fellowship with him. So we're to pray for the humbling and the humility of the people of God. Because, see, when God sends certain destruction or certain plagues, or he's going in this particular time, go ahead and kill them all. Remember, they were out there, and they were doing despite God's word. Just read together in Numbers 21 and verse 7. Numbers 21 and verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord." It seems like they did that just a few chapters ago. Complaining, griping, never satisfied. And God's listening all the time. And God's not standing by idly, because see what you're doing when you're complaining. Anyone? You're saying, "God, you're not fair." Don't ever accuse God of not being fair. Don't even think about accusing God of not being fair, or send a plague or send destruction. That's up to him. I know how I'm supposed to act because he told me, but I dare not question what he does because he's God. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. They'd been griping about Moses, saying, "You're not doing right," but we see the hand of forgiveness. Moses prayed to God to take the serpents away that had been biting the people. Because God sent them. Why would God send serpents to the people? It's clear as it can be. Because they complained and were not satisfied with what God was doing and Moses was doing. Not only they were complaining against Moses or against God, but they were complaining against Moses. And now they say, "Moses, pray for us." I know we've been complaining about you, but would you pray for us? And he did. He was quick to forgive. So we learned something else. All those people that misuse us, let's just pray for God to humble them and give them some humility. That's as far as you can take it. Moses didn't say one time, "God straighten them out, they deserve it." No, no, no. They were his people. God had given him the charge of those people, and he was just praying the prayer. Let's keep reading. Not only that, but we see now that the serpents were there, but there is a healing process. Remember the story that hold up the serpent type of Christ. And if you look to that, you'll live. And when sin is that adder, sin is that serpent that has bitten flesh, all of human, we were snake bit before we got here, don't you see? The sting of death is sin. And now they had literally been bitten by serpents, but it represents and shows that when we're born, we're in sin, we're against God. Then the cross was lifted up with the serpent on it. And when they looked to that, it pointed us to Calvary. Yes, Satan has bitten us and bit Adam and Eve, and we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But look to Christ and live. But the thing that humbles my heart is that when Moses was done wrong and God was done wrong, oh, God can take vengeance anytime he wants to. And God's very clear on that. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. He leaves all the vengeance up to himself. He can handle it, and he's doing right and doing it. He leaves none whatsoever up to you and I. We just pray for him. Pray for humility and pray for forgiveness. Lastly, another long one. Turn your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 20. People of Israel, they were out there in the wilderness. God had delivered them from bondage, head to the promised land. They didn't believe God when he said that I'll get rid of all the enemy. And that displeased God so much that he left them wandering in the wilderness 40 years, and all the under a certain age were the only ones that made it. And the old folks that had denied and displeased God, he let them die in the wilderness. He can do that because he's God. He done right by doing that. So we never, ever even think about questioning what God's done. He's done right. I'm just wanting to know what I'm supposed to do. So I've learned so far. I pray for the healing of the ungodly. I pray for the hand of destruction of God to be removed. And I pray for the humbling and humility of his people. Oh, biblically, it'll work. And every time you pray like that, you please God. And surely we want to learn how to please God. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 20. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. In this particular chapter, Moses is reciting to Israel what had taken place, what had already taken place. A reminder. Sometimes God does need to give us reminders. Remember, they were out there and they were wondering what happened to Moses. He'd been up there with God. Good place to be, wouldn't you say? 40 days. And he'd been up there so long that they said, Moses probably won't be coming back. And we need somebody to lead us. Well, Moses wasn't actually the one that was leading them. It was God through Moses that was leading them. That's where they missed it. So they went back and said, we have been loaded down with all this gold. I mean, Egypt was so happy to get rid of us because those plagues. We got all this gold, so let's just melt it and make a golden calf. And that Aaron went and sculptured it and said, this is the God that delivered us. It's amazing how people don't even rationally have the ability to think and reason when they have other gods before them. A lot of people in our nation that can't even reason now, you know. They want to have different economies and socialism, and look at Venezuela. And they don't have enough smarts to say, well, that's the way we'd be. It's amazing what sin does to people. It cripples their mind. And here we have Aaron and the children of Israel that have made that golden calf. Moses has been with God for the people, comes down with the commandments. This is what God wants. Let's just live. And remember, Moses got mad at the people and broke the chain. And God says, okay, I hewed those out this time. Next time you hear Master say it, I'll do the writing, thank you, but the hewing out of the stones is up to you. Back up the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. So God can have this pleasure anytime he wants to, and he's still God and he's still right. Now Moses is reciting to the people this whole chapter what happened, and the verse said that and the Lord was very angry. Remember the past? God would have killed Aaron, my brother. What did Moses do? Let's read the text. Verse 26. I prayed, therefore, unto the Lord. Not only was he going to kill Aaron, he was going to kill all the people and raise a new nation with Moses. And Moses, the type of man he was, no, I don't want that. I want you, God, to be honored. I don't want the heathen to think that you wasn't able to get all these people to the promised land. It's all about your name. It's not about me, Lord. It's about your name. God answers that kind of prayer when you put him first in your life. So we pray for the hand of judgment to be withheld. That's what we just learned. Aaron was going to be destroyed by God. He would have been right by doing so because he can't do wrong. And all the people had displeased over and over and over. And even though God led them out with a strong hand, parted the Red Sea and gave them, yet they are denying that, and now they're worshiping false gods. And God been right to destroy them. But Moses prayed that God would not destroy them. And now judgment, no doubt, is on America. There's no doubt about that. And it's on the whole world. He said so in the Word of God in the last days, perilous comes, but he's a judge. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to do what Moses done. We pray for the hand of God's judgment to be still and give people a chance to repent. God will do what he wants to, and as he's doing it, we're not taking away from God. You'll do what you want to, but I do know what Moses did. I do know what Moses and Abraham did. When Abraham saw Abimelech and the judgment God brought him, he prayed for him. God heard his prayer. And three times we've seen that the people of God had displeased God, and every time Moses prays for him. That's our job. So no more questions in my mind. Yes, you're bringing destruction. You're bringing judgment. That's up to you. My job is to do what Moses did and do what Abraham did. Pray for the hand of God to be, the judgment to be put off, so people have a chance to repent. Now, whether God hears and answers that prayer, I don't know, but I do it. That's the prayer I'm supposed to pray. Have compassion for the people. What if Moses had been the type of person he couldn't have been? Said, yeah, go ahead and destroy that outfit, God. Raise up with me a new nation. I know you can. That way I'll be a little taller in the saddle, so to speak. No, no, no. He had a mindset to pray for those hurting. So that should be our desire. There are people hurting. Sure, they've done wrong. I've done wrong. Have you done wrong? We need God's mercy. Four principles how we ought to pray, regardless of what the people do. And God takes care of the business. He'll take care of our wives and their children. I was in California not long ago, and they've got laws that you better not have a gun. Well, I took my gun. But I obeyed the law. You have to put the gun in the lockbox and put the lockbox in the trunk and the key up here. So if MS-13 or whatever they got me, they'd probably kill me 10 times over before I got my gun, but I still had my gun. And the laws are made not to protect us. The laws are made, and that's their business. It's California. They do what they want to, and I pray for them. And then again, when they turn from God and look at everything else except God, that's God's business. And he'll do what he needs to do as he wants to. My job is to pray for them that's hurting. God's hand of judgment will be upheld and give them reason and give them time to repent. They're not the only people that's done wrong. Church people are doing wrong. Aaron's doing wrong. The children of Israel's doing wrong. We do wrong every time we gripe and complain to God. I don't like this, and I don't like this. God's listening. And you don't even have to say it with your mouth. He knows what you're thinking in your heart. God's not pleased. He's in control. We ought to thank God that things are as well with us as they are. That's the kind of prayer God likes to hear. Surely you and I wouldn't want to displease God. Have to have somebody praying for us, because God will take wrath and vengeance upon anyone that doesn't honor him and put him first. And don't accuse him ever. Don't even think it in your mind. If they'll put your mind, God's not treating me fair. Impossible. Even possible, because God can't do anything but right. He's God. He's holy. And when he brings judgment, and as he brings judgment, he's still right. And I'll never question that. And now I know how to act. I'm to pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. They despitefully used Moses. He prayed for them. That's my job. That's your job. Would you stand in that? Your heads are bound. Simple lessons on how we ought to pray. You can't miss it. You can't go around it. You can't question it. That's just biblical facts. God does everything he does in the Word of God perfectly. I mean, he didn't just accidentally mention the first four times he mentions prayer and not use and gives all those ordinary and ordinary circumstances. That's just not coincidental. That's God teaching you and I what we're to pray for and how we're to pray, because we got the same situations abroad. People hate God, no fear of God in the land. Same situation. Abraham did right. You and I can do right. Leave all the results up to the Lord. He can handle it. Heads are bound. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for this portion of your word, for every portion of your word. It helps us and guides us and leads us. Causes us to understand and know. Lord, we're just to pray for everyone and pray for their salvation. And if you choose to judge them and if you choose to judge us, I pray, Father, you'll just be merciful to us. You have been merciful. And it's biblical to pray for your mercy for others. Moses did and Abraham did. And Jesus taught us we ought to. So we don't have to worry about what others do, and we certainly don't have to worry about what you do, but so many times we have to worry about what we do. And if we don't do it right, you're displeased with us. And help us, Father, to acknowledge you, to love you, to cherish you, to put you in every thought we have so others can see Christ in us. And Lord, keep us from complaining, letting others that don't even know you hear belly aches and complain. And if they look at us and they hear how we address our little old problems, they'll say, well, he's not able to take care of them. Why not, should I center myself to the Lord? Help us to know these things, Father. It's the truth. Because people are watching us. And we must give an answer. All the hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord, to all the world. That's our job. Help us to do it, to give you glory and honor and praise, not we ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All minds and hearts clear.